Everybody knows Sandra Lupkin from the park, and then Josie Smith, which is Velma's Bluey's daughter. Then the second week, we got Virginia Pierce and Nina. Didn't really get a chance to do bios on them yet, but we just spent more time just going over some of the things related to understanding who we are. So Virginia, on the second page, she's the one with the black and white blouse on, and Nina is next to her. Virginia lives in the area. She has, I think, one child, maybe 34-year-old daughter. I'm not sure any other than that. She's been coming for a while. She sits in the back. She was real excited to be there on Sunday. And Nina has actually been wanting to be a part of the Next Steps for a while. She's Filipino. She's here on a visa. I think she's got another 2 to 3 years on her work visa. She's a middle school teacher in Riverview School District. She has, I think, she has a PhD in sports medicine or sports science. And so she was real enthusiastic about the class as well. So that's just for you guys' references. You see them.
Virginia is the very first person outside of the praise team that shows up every Sunday. Mm. So she almost breathed Brad sometimes. That's pretty good.
Yeah, she then goes to another church, I understand, after she leaves here. Yeah.
Oh, did I know that? Okay.
Okay. I don't know if she's continued to do that, but you know, she was making it better.
And her daughter was here during, I think it was her daughter, that was here during Christmas time.
Oh, good.
So you mentioned her daughter. So that must be her because she was around that 30-some-odd year old that was coming with her. And she introduced herself, but it never clicked in my brain what her name was.
Yeah. She went through the Webster School District. So she actually went through elementary school with my son. I didn't know her, but we just made the connection as we were talking that they were both in the same class at some point.
Small world.
It is.
Your son's 34.
He is 34, yes. Yeah. All right.
What year was that?
Oh, now you're taxing the brain a little bit.
Do y'all know what church in Florissant came to the youth event?
I was talking to Florissant Church of Christ.
Was it the Florissant Church of Christ?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there was a man, Andre. Well, he was talking about how his name was Andre. I don't think he goes by Andre. Who called it Church of God in Christ or something. I thought maybe it was something different. But, okay.
It's possible that there was another group here.
Mm.
Okay. Or so he might have been talking about previous churches. Well, this was like a 70-year-old man. It was like somebody's father they brought with him. But they went to church. Anyway, so that's the place of Church of Christ, most likely.
I'm not going to guarantee, because I know that there is a church, now that you say that, Church of God, Church of Christ in God, we have, or something like that. So it's similar but different. And somebody has a connection. I think Autry has a connection to a group up on the north side. And I think it's the guy that came and actually picked up some VBS stuff. Is their children's minister, so I know him.
Well, I had a chance to talk to him quite a bit, and he was really excited about the instruments because he had never been in church, had instruments before, and he's like, why do they do that? And I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, I got to talk about scripture and how we can. I was like, wait a second. I was like, why do you think? He's like, well, I don't know. Why not? I said, yeah, you're right.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good. But I also want to ask, does anybody know what's going on with Carrie? Like, on Sunday, she seemed like she was down on something, and she mentioned business. I know she runs a business. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, is anybody close to her? Carrie Strickland, yes.
I don't know. She did express some, sadness to me. She wasn't specific what was going on. She just said, I'm not in a good place right now, and so.
All right, I'm going to pray for her, though. Okay. I won't be able to be specific.
She didn't tell me anything either. So I mean, we grew up together, so we know each other pretty well, and we chatted some on Sunday, positively, but there were some things, now that you say it, mm-hmm. yeah. that she answered, responded to me in things. It's like, that was sort of strange. Now
I went back. So I noticed this with my nephew, Ezra. I think there might be people who are feeling bad about the election, and maybe mm-hmm. it's just weighing on them.
Mm-hmm.
Might be something to pray about here.
Yeah. That is one of her issues. I don't know if that was going on Sunday, but.
Well, it makes me very glad we have a place that's neutral and that we can come together in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that everybody? Are we ready for me to pray here?
I can't think of anyone else.
So, and just to review, these people are, they have place membership?
No, they are in the process of taking that next step. And Sandra Lumpkin, she did place membership, the lady second from the bottom.
Okay, right.
But they are wanting to place membership. At least two of those people are. Donnell is just exploring. He wasn't there. He came the first week, but he didn't come back the second week. And he's been here maybe about, three or four.
Three,
yeah, three or four. I would say that's a good number. Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray. Lord, Father in heaven, we want to thank you for all the people that you've blessed McKnight's with, and we pray that McKnight's can bless them as well. We thank you for the Williffords returning mm-hmm. to us, and we thank you for Donald, David Upton, Josie Smith, and Virginia and Nina. We see in them a spirit of interest, mm-hmm. and they're seeking a church family. And God, we pray that they find that with us, and that we're able to minister them and help them with their walk with God. Mm-hmm. And God, thank you for Sandra Lumpkin, and thank you for the outreach we've been able to do with the church in the park. And God, be with people now who are struggling about politics and about the world. We want our church to be a safe place for them, and we know it's serving that purpose. God, just help us to be aware of them and be sensitive to their needs, and find ways to help them appreciate the unity we have here. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So, just wanted to maybe talk about the lead minister candidates. Now, also want to give Ross an opportunity. If you feel this is an awkward moment for you, you want to step out, that's fine. You want to sit.
Well, I will say there's been a little bit of awkwardness in that, like, normally I might be able to mention things about our church to my parents,
mm-hmm.
but because they're close to him, mm-hmm. I'm like, just don't talk about anything that's going on right now with mm-hmm. them. And I just told them, and they understood that.
Okay.
And I did run into John Saturday at a CA event,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't too bad. Like he's a very friendly guy, and he didn't like press me for any questions or put me in a position where I felt like I would have to. So, although I did mention that I saw his video, and he said, "Oh, I didn't know if you'd see that," and then he asked if they had left in this comment at the end of the story about Laura. And I said, yeah, they did. They laughed pretty good. That's my earliest memory.
Yeah.
But no, I feel comfortable talking about it. And both them, him and Jeremy.
Okay. All right. So I guess we need to think about Jeremy first, about what we want to do in terms of next steps for him.
I sent out my comments. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
I watched the video and I concluded that I think that for what we're looking for, it was not a good fit, mm-hmm. to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think so either.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
yeah, we watched his sermon. It was very long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that he's got a long journey to become a minister, if that's really what he wants to do. It seems like maybe he's more equipped for the ministry he's in now.
Okay. All right. So I guess I'll. Jeff, did you have any?
Yeah, and I think I echo pretty much all those.
Okay. And Steve, what about you?
I'm on board with you guys.
Okay.
So I guess I'm the one following up on these, right?
Yeah. you're doing it all now, yeah.
Hey, Steve, guess what? We got you some jobs.
Okay.
So you're getting paid the big bucks.
Yes, I guess so.
You're the admin minister. All right. As the admin minister, I'm sending you a message.
What about John Blackmore? He was the second one. Yeah.
So my thoughts were these. I liked him. I think he has a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be worth having him on the second interview, but only if we consider him as an interim. Yeah. So like 3 to 5 years. So yeah. I think if we hired him for 3 to 5 years and he knew it was 3 to 5 years, I think he'd be great because I think he brings a lot of skill. But I don't think it's got a lot of length on it. So that's kind of my thought. I think he just has a lot to offer, but I wouldn't want him any longer than that period.
See, I had similar ideas for him, too, and I was listening to some of his sermons, and I was trying to get – did you listen to many of his sermons at all?
I think maybe parts of two of those.
Yeah, me too. And I was excited about him from the standpoint you just described. I said, well, he might be a good interim fit. I wasn't thinking that long. I was thinking maybe until we get settled in, maybe 6 months, 8 months, whatever, until we get settled in with somebody. Then I listened to a couple of his sermons. And one of them, I wasn't sure if it was a tad bit political when it was talking about COVID issues. And so I was going to re-listen to it again, and I didn't get a chance to, so I wanted to make sure I was hearing that correctly. It made me pause a little bit on thinking about him that way. But my initial thoughts was the same as yours, but for a shorter term.
Okay, and I'm fine with that, yeah.
Well, and that's even, Ross, what you had mentioned before that he'd even offered as an option, or you had mentioned that he does things like that historically, or...
Well, he comes from a small town where I think it's probably mostly conservative. Mm-hmm. So he may not be as accustomed to being politically neutral.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to a number of sermons and he's never gotten political during the sermons mm-hmm. that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a small sampling. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something to keep in mind, and a concern I would have is if that ever did happen, people feel very strongly about that. So mm-hmm. it would be a real roadblock
mm-hmm.
if it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to listen to back to Jeff's sermons at the beginning of COVID,
mm-hmm.
and to see if we were to look at them in the past and see if. They are more political. There are political things that he does say,
mm-hmm.
especially around that time frame, mm-hmm. where I think lots of people were doing it,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it's sort of difficult because I know I sent you the links mm-hmm. about the video, the sermons,
mm-hmm.
and they are old sermons.
They are
so they're back when he was the preacher,
right?
Yep. Which was and so I went to the way. I told Steve mm-hmm. I went to the Wayback Machine to find the sermons, and mm-hmm. so that's why we have them. But we also have to think. Back in that time frame, how political were we all,
mm-hmm.
either one way or the other?
And also, like, I think that you're ministering to your congregation to a certain extent. Like, there's topics that I wouldn't personally bring up because they're not in my heart. But, like, for example, when there's riots going on, but there's people in our congregation who have strong feelings about that, and mm-hmm. they might need it talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember times when, like, I think you got up and you were kind of addressing the black community
mm-hmm.
and about things that I'm like, that shouldn't be an issue,
mm-hmm.
but for people it is and mm-hmm. it needs to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be some of that going on just on the other side of the aisle at his church mm-hmm. or in the past if that was...
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that would mean he couldn't, mm-hmm. you know, be neutral.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that is a danger we'll face with anyone is that you know, especially if we get a younger guy, it's just, hey, listen, here's what we consider our what we do in worship, you know. And I think even if it's a young preacher or an old preacher, we're just going to have to say, here's kind of how we do it here.
Yeah, and sort of almost like Steve, but you guys said, and Ross, you guys were on the youth ministry candidates that you guys had checked their background, and, mm-hmm. and you just bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Say, this is what you said here.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to hire you, you can't be saying these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you believe it, whether or not you talk about it in private with your wife,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing. But as the minister, we sort of keep neutral,
mm-hmm.
and we don't want you posting things mm-hmm. that are outside of that. And you don't necessarily have to go back and delete them,
mm-hmm.
because that's not who you are. That's not who you should be.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be hiding your past. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, as the minister, if we hire you, then this is what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what Jeff's posting now?
So what is your thoughts, though, Jeff? You didn't mention that.
I liked him. So there were things about him that were just strange. Mm-hmm. And he felt at home in the interview, so which is good to a point.
Mm-hmm.
There was no nervousness, mm-hmm. so that was very interesting. So all the other interviews we've always watched,
mm-hmm.
everybody's nervous.
Mm-hmm.
He was not. But it's years of experience, mm-hmm. it's just a chat with somebody, and I think that he has the ability to preach well,
mm-hmm.
he has the ability to do the roles that we need done, mm-hmm. I think. So I think that I would not have a concern,
yeah.
going to the next level at least,
yeah.
and asking those other questions.
I like that he was honest with himself, and he said, you know, I'm comfortable in my own skin, and I don't have a problem speaking, but I understand that, you know, the minister shouldn't be the most important person in the room, kind of a thing. And so mm-hmm. he checked himself. And so I thought that was good, mm-hmm. that he was honest and aware about that.
It could offend people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think that as a candidate, there's no question that you'd want to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Just because of the ability, to, at least with him and Steve together. Just to see more, I think.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts, Brad?
I'm behind in the catch-up of all okay. of the stuff,
okay.
so I probably should just be, you know,
okay.
quiet. But
okay.
from a practical standpoint, I don't think we can afford to hire somebody on a short-term basis. It's not practical.
Well, I was thinking it is extremely practical in that you'd have somebody here, knowing that they're short-term, till we hire somebody else, and then if there's some overlap, that's fine.
Twice.
Well, we're going to have to do it anyway.
Well, not if you get a younger person, hopefully, that would, you know.
Well, I don't see it as a practical matter of being any less inconvenient or more inconvenient.
I was thinking we were looking for a younger person to attract
family. So I agree 100% until
so
we get that person.
Guy.
No, so that's why he's interim. Until
yeah.
you get, because
mm-hmm.
we're going to make it clear, hey, we're not looking for you, but we want you until, that's why it's an interim position, for till we find this next guy. But you've got some great abilities to put your fingers in the holes in the dam. And
so the problem that may cause, so another one that I just happened to think of, he lives in Sullivan. So he could drive in. If he's interim, he's not going to move here.
Well, I'm not saying that.
So then that's going to cause. So he's either. So it's like further than Steve drives in every day to the office. And
I'm not saying that there's not hair on it. I'm just saying, hey, we like you, but it would only be interim, and it's the monkey's on your back. And so, yeah, there's a lot. I wouldn't do it if I were him. I wouldn't sell my house and move up here for 2 years.
I think he might be selling his house anyway.
But if he's willing to, that's why I say
moved out, so he's
just be up front and you know, the monkey's on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of hair on it.
And we don't really have to hire him. We can just kind of maybe ask him to come in and preach a couple of times a month.
I think that'd be good.
You know, so you don't have to be hired. So that's another.
If he'd be interested in something like
yeah,
that.
Yes.
But I think he also had benefits in, well, I mean, we've got you, which is good, but he had a lot of admin skills and a lot of mentoring skills. And I think he's got a lot of background. And, you know, he's talked about how they handled the eldership where he is. And it's like, he got some good points there and just a lot of things that he could bring. And so, but anyway, I would think it'd be short term, and in the pain of it, what would be on him, as long as we're upfront about it. And, you know, there's other ways to work it. Like you're saying, maybe he just comes in a couple times a month and maybe he's here for a week or something, but I think he's got potential.
Age-wise, he's close to 60.
Probably close to 60, yeah. I'm not sure exactly, but.
Well, but if his kids are, you know.
Well, no, I mean, my mom's 65, and he's her youngest brother, so he's probably around 60.
That's what I was going to guess. Yeah.
So that even the interim kind of thing, if you think about it, I don't know how well he's set for the retirement, but even if we were just to say, we're like, if he's working till 65, that kind of thing, say, okay, we'll pay you, we'll keep you on until you're 65, and then.
Well, I would think
at the max, right. Thing. And then,
I mean, we'd have to discuss that, but yeah, I mean, if Walker thinks maybe a year to 5 years, something like that. But
well, I know he has a strong interest in mission work as well, so
he does.
It might it might fit into him short term. I don't know.
Yeah,
it does. Okay, so he's a guy we want to take to the second level. Sound like at least okay. All right. So we scheduled an interview with Chris Jackson on Thursday. It's set up for 5:30. He's the guy that Steve met at the conference in Dallas earlier this month. He's he doesn't have any preaching experience. I think most of his ministry work has been youth ministry work.
That's what it looked like.
He's currently working at Harding University as an admissions, I believe.
So is he in his 20s?
I think he's in his maybe early 30s because he graduated initially in 2015 from Harding, which was 10 years ago, so maybe 30.
That's what he counted, like either really late 20s or early 30s.
Yeah. So so currently he's an admissions counselor at Harding University. He's been there since October of 2023. He has his master's in divinity from Lipscomb. And he has a youth minister degree from Harding. He got that in 2015. He's working on Masters of Arts in Organizational Leadership at Harding University while he's there in that counseling role. His wife has a pretty substantial education. Her name is Morgan, I believe. She's a
physical therapist.
Physical therapist. Hey, doctor, Dave. Doctor physical therapy. Yep. Doctor, hey, Dave.
Which is great.
Doctor physical therapy. So,
and on him, The two things that gave me a little pause, one is he does ecumenical spiritual counseling, which is kind of, it sounds like what they do in the AA program, you know, a higher spiritual power. And, you know, I don't know, you know, again, it just gives me pause. I'm not really that ecumenical. And the other is on his stuff, he has a lot of the Cairo, Anglican, the cross, and the which is, again, not necessarily our faith background. And so I just don't know where he is on the fundamentals of our tradition.
Yeah, so I'm looking at his Facebook. I don't have his, CV. But it says that he studied at Lipscomb for his spiritual direction certificate. And that's where a lot of that's coming from. So, but it's based, so this is, if you guys remember, you guys did that Mid-County. So a book by Earl Lavender and, what's the name? So they, Living in Christ's Love, you know that? And it was before I got there, but it was just right before that. And so it's a really good book. And they were very much focused on a lot of these monk-like kinds of things.
Right.
And that's where this program, so they actually led this program.
It's a year review.
Prior, they're both
it's a year left, review.
And that's where I think the Cairo stuff comes from.
Yeah, so I think a lot of that comes from that direction, would be my guess. But he also then went to Hazelwood School of Theology, which I'm not recognized, so that may be something outside of, maybe somewhere there in Lipscomb area, like in Nashville or something, but I've never heard of it. So, at least I know that's the direction, that spiritual direction thing is where he focus, he has that certificate from, which does exactly that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's part of Lipscomb. That's Lipscomb's theological thing. So yeah, so a lot of his stuff is out there at Lipscomb, and so.
But when on his cover letter, you know, if you look up his spiritual counseling, you know, he's actually does that as a side gig, and it's kind of like a hospital chaplain. You know, anything goes, whatever you believe, and we'll work with that. And you know, again, I don't. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm not going to say that it's wrong, but it would just be nice to, hey, you know, what is it that, what are the essentials of your faith? What do you think are fundamental?
Yeah, and we fleshed that out, I think, a little bit. It's usually in the second interview.
Yeah.
So are you okay with doing the first?
Yeah, interview? Yeah.
Okay.
I'm definitely okay with it. I just think that's the only thing that makes me a little uncomfortable.
Okay. We were talking about Chris Jackson, Dave.
Okay. You know, lots of people he knows. That's really interesting. Like people that aren't from.
Oh yeah.
So he knows Michele, but he, like, there's a guy that I.
Oh, you're looking at Facebook connections.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just odd connections. So.
But we want to step on it.
I know.
You and too. Then on the next one for David, didn't we already look at him?
We did.
I thought so.
We did.
I didn't.
Did.
I thought he kind of fell flat.
Yeah, he did. And the reason I put that on the agenda item, Matthew asked us to take a second look at him.
Okay.
And we did discuss that, I think, kind of off the record a little bit and came to the same conclusion. Matthew said, hey, you don't have to get back with me, but I think we should, you know, give him some kind of feedback. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what that should be. Be honest with you. You know, I'm at a loss of what that should be. I just don't want to leave it hanging with him.
And I don't know if it's, you know, because I think Matthew said that, you know, he's, if you're looking for somebody that does spiritual counseling, this guy's great. And we are, but I don't think that's the main point of what we're looking for, you know, as
that's
far
true.
As a pulpit minister is, yeah, we see that he has these gifts, but, you know, it kind of misses the meat of what we're driving at. So.
Okay.
David had one of those preliminary screening phone calls, or was it more involved?
I think he had. I think it was a Zoom interview. I wasn't on that. I was someplace. I couldn't be on the Zoom interview, but we have a record of.
Don was on there, I think.
Don was on there. Okay. So we have a recorded interview with David. He was transitioning. He's in Florida as a professor, and I think that. Program that he was teaching was being phased out, and he was transitioning out of that into something else. And so, I just need to think about a response. I mean, for Matthew, I don't know what that response would be. I just feel awkward just leaving it hanging there with him.
So, do we give him some kind of feedback whenever we called? Or, like, I don't know if Steve called him, I guess? Or
I didn't give him any feedback. I don't know.
So who called David to let him know that we weren't interested?
I don't know. Was it me?
So, yeah.
I think
Steve.
It was Jeff and Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're right, because Jeff was still around at
that
point.
Yeah. And they both said no.
Okay.
I remember I wasn't on it either, but I think I remember reviewing some of the stuff. And he seems like a nice guy, but, you know, didn't really have any kind of charisma. That,
yeah, he
know.
Was sort of like Ethan.
He was
at a point like Ethan last year.
Professor.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and I'd love to sit and talk with Matthew. I mean, you know,
right.
I enjoy it, but I think Matthew's. trying to help his cousin as best he can.
He is.
I understand it.
He is, and I do too.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to give him some type of response. But anyway, I'll draft something, let you guys look at it, and you know, figure out how to construct it.
something like, you know, it's reasonable that, you know, we had a good Zoom interview with him, and it just didn't feel like his strengths matched our needs.
Yeah.
Some, you know, kind of thing. That, you know, I don't know how much. Yeah. The more you talk, the more trouble you get.
But, and I mean, and we, if we have to call him and talk to him in person, it's one thing. If we could write it down, I think that would be nice.
And I agree.
Sort of just saying, hey, we're looking, looking for this and this and this, and these skills did not seem to fit what we were looking for. This, this, and this.
Yeah.
Your speaking was very good, very theological, but it was a bit higher than we needed. We're looking for somebody that, that could reach out, evangelizing to younger students or younger families, and the gap that we have is a church right now.
But he, if you remember correctly, I think he worked a lot with college students in terms of bringing them along their faith path, and so.
But attractiveness to them was not the thing. It was because they were there already. And so that's the problem, that if you have them sitting in your bucket, he can do that. But reaching out and grabbing them and bringing them in, I think that's where the problem was, because it, at times he was a bit boring and professor-like. And
okay.
Well, are you talking about a response to the candidate?
No,
or
to Matthew.
Matthew. Okay, yeah, explaining to him, to help him understand.
Yes. So, Dave, we decided to do a second interview with John Blackmore.
Okay.
We're going to pass on Jeremy Marshall, unless you have some thoughts on that.
Okay.
And one of the things we talked about briefly, didn't land on anything, is that maybe John Blackmore can serve in some kind of interim fashion, you know, rather than a long term, or even, you know, a couple times a month, if not longer term. So. That's yet to be decided. Okay. Quick update on the Children and Family Minister search. Cyber's been really good at giving us candidates to talk to. They gave us, over the last month, we've had three. Unfortunately, the first one decided that she wants to pursue her master's degree, so we won't be talking to her any further. But these two we got just last week. Was it last week? I believe it was it. Is one is Hannah. She's had some previous experience as a children's minister. For some reason, we don't really know yet, but she got let go there. We don't really know why she got let go. Jennifer said it had something to do with the timing. It was right around the COVID time, and it was just not a good fit for it. So we'll work with that as best as we can. She has responded to our initial inquiry. She sent her resume, and so we're going to schedule a Zoom call with her. So, Jenna, we sent her an initial kind of inquiry letter, email. We haven't heard back from her yet. So that was just yesterday. So it's we may or may not hear back from her, but just want to kind of give you guys an update on what's going on there.
Are they, like, really young, or are they...
Well,
Hannah's already had some experience.
Hannah is, I think she graduated, Jenna is just recently graduated in December, so she's really young.
So, like, the previous one
that... Yeah. Hannah, I don't have her resume with me. She maybe 2020-ish graduated. Yeah, she was working, I think, 2020-21 at Texarkana, I believe. You have it?
Her, her ministry ended in 2022, okay. And that's when she started doing the working with chiropractor.
Okay.
Pain management.
Yeah. When did she start, like 21 or something like that?
Yeah, I've got it right here.
So she came.
yeah, so... Yeah, 2021 to 2022 was when she was a children's minister,
okay.
And she was a children's minister intern just before that.
Okay. Okay. All right. So. So that's that.
Without meeting her, I would guess late 20s, mid to late 20s.
Yes, yes, yes. Dave, I know we kind of blindsided you. Did you want to do anything on the budget today, or you want to wait till next?
Yeah, just let you guys know the finance team did finalize the budget for the new year. Got everything to Elizabeth that she needs. The staff got 4% raises. It did require a 7% increase in the congregational contributions in order to be a break-even budget. Most of the spending was very flat. Tried to just hold the line of what we've been doing. Did that for the children's ministry position, the youth ministry position, although we did remove the Honduras support that we had in that budget as if a trip was going to happen every other year. It's got one summer intern in there. The biggest variable is our health insurance renewal that comes up March 1, and that looks very challenging. We had a 50% increase to keep with the plan we had. That isn't going to work. And the alternatives that our broker has brought us so far aren't much better. And so we're continuing to push a little bit on the broker. Right now we have two full-time employees that need health insurance. Hopefully we get to four once we hire a lead minister and a children's and family minister. Let's see. Oh, five if you count Katie and Axe. She used to not be in the plan. She's jumping back into the plan. So anyway, there's some work going on. And fingers crossed that we can find a solution that's within. Basically, we have an allowance of $1,200 a month for each employee. And for a single employee, that's not too bad. But, you know, somebody like Nathan, we've been paying $600 a month. And for that to go up to a $900, $1,000, it's like, let alone the family guy we're trying to hire. It's like, that's just not. And it's not a great plan. It has a deductible and, you know, it's not just Taj Mahal coverage. And so still working on that. That's the biggest variable that we might have to figure out something come March. And this is what we're facing. What do we do?
So timing-wise on that, did we know, like, prior to opening enrollment for the regular plans, like, that they could have, we could have sort of said, we'll help you, we'll give you, like, money to pay for helping with insurance if you go buy find your own? Like, back in, I guess, October, November time frame would have been that.
Yeah, we might end up having to do something like that. And the ability to do that, there are restrictions. If you don't have a group plan, you can just not have that benefit, and then you adjust the salary. The reason you don't like to do that is somebody doesn't have to even get health insurance, and they'll just go without, and you're paying for it.
They can get fined for it, too, though.
What's that?
They were going to have it where you could get fined for that. If you don't come,
used to be, injury.
But they've removed that, I guess.
Yeah, that's not part of the. Yeah, that got removed as not kosher anymore. So, anyway, just know that that's a challenge that we're still facing. The missions committee got the same dollar amount, moved a little bit of money around, but you know, all the same commitments. ACTS got no increase but flat. CFS, all of those large commitments.
Right.
So just an awareness of that. And the challenge of the health insurance renewal.
We've got the next meeting. It looks like it's February 10th. Would you be able to get the budget to us by then? I mean,
yeah.
I guess, okay. That'd be good.
Yep. I can send it out so everybody can see it.
Okay. Brett, you're next when you're ready.
Hold on. Yeah, just real quick. So looking for efficiencies in the Sunday service and in maybe minimizing some of the awkwardness of passing the trays and stuff. And so one of the things is the collection process for the funds. And I was just this past Sunday at a church that they don't pass trays anymore. And they do kind of what I'm proposing is they just say, hey, most everybody gives online, but if you want to give, there's a slot back there. You know, we just ask you to put it in there. And so mine is, have the kids come up front, you know, drop it in and just remind everybody, make the announcement. You know, again, most people give online, but for those who want to, there's a box in the back, but also for the prayer requests. You know, we'd ask you to put, there's a card in the pew, just put your prayer requests and the donations in the back. And I think that would, you know, again, it just worked really well at this church I was at. You know, just, you know, it takes a 30-second conversation instead of, you know, 10 minutes of awkward passing or not. And we're still working on Don Fitzgerald and Steve Autry drilling holes in the pews to talk about, you know, just passing the cups and just, hey, leave them there and we'll pick them up afterwards. But I think we could start on the collection side, you know, right away. And you know, again, if anybody's got any reservations, but I just think that would work well.
I'm coming around. I liked it when we got back to passing the plates, and I'm one that waves it off now all the time. And I'm watching. It's like way less than half are putting anything in there. And so that is its own. It's not accomplishing what you want that to accomplish. Yeah.
Even the optics aren't good.
Correct. And I'm just thinking visitors coming in and everything. And so, you know, I'm coming around to think, okay, I think that makes sense. And then the reminder about the box. I do like the kids coming up front.
Right.
That's a nice thing to keep. And I think they like it. It gives them a little bit of publicity, if you will, and they're all smiles all the time.
I had to talk to Zeke about not dancing his way up
there. That's okay. Well, that's reality, okay.
It's probably better for him to dance there as opposed to get up there.
Burn that energy out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. So it's like that little lap gets him from being sitting for like so long to move around.
And so I
let the children come.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I do like the change in collection, and I do think letting people leave the cups in a little catchment thing is a good thing too. It requires cleanup afterwards, but so does what we're doing now. And I like, if we can get there, I think that's a worthy effort.
I was surprised when we asked Elizabeth a couple of meetings ago, but I thought there was very little cash coming in, but she said no, we were running, I want to say it was a couple $100.
A few hundred, $200 to $300 a Sunday.
Every once in a while, somebody pops something in that's significant.
Right. So on that, I mean, yes, we will get specials, but again, that'll still happen in the back. But when I asked her the same question, she said we get $300 a week. But
$300.
Okay. But that's including what they get in the mail. So some people will still physically put it in the mail, and she said more than half of it is stuff she puts in the mailbox. So I'm thinking it's probably $150 that we pick up on a Sunday, and then some specials.
I see it almost every week because I'm out there when they're getting it, bringing it back. And so, it's more than $300-$400 is so rare that, even the people that are switching it, they make comments. It's like, we have almost nothing in this today.
Right.
Yeah. So some days it's like $50 maybe even, and then other days it's...
So I don't know that we will be losing out on that. We might lose on a few dollars, but hopefully people just put that in the box, and so it's not like we'll be forfeiting that.
Maybe we need to put the box higher up and where people all have to walk by it. You know? I mean, just to make it, because sitting on the floor in the back, I forgot.
And again, that's part of this is we will start with this, and then, you know, do we need two boxes? Do we need to paint them safety orange, you know, so you keep
one
see?
On each pew.
Yeah.
This is the old days.
But we'll,
we'll
start with that, and then if we need to make it more visible, if people keep asking, you know, where's this box? Okay, then we need to paint it an obnoxious color or something.
Well, let's just conclude now. It needs to be more visible than it is now, whatever that means. Let's do something. And with this change, we'll point out where it is. I think that's a good.
About communion, what would it be if we were to switch back to the old method? Where you have two passes.
Passes the crackers in.
You pass the crackers separate, pass the juice separate, and then the juice goes right back where you put it at. As opposed to...
Oh, you mean take it and put it in and pass
it? Put it, and then that way you're not picking up trash anyway. So that's what removed the... So in the olden days, they used to pass it, then everybody would pray for it, and they'd drink it at the same time, and then they would put it in their pew. So that was the reason why those holes used to be there. So the methodology, thinking, and then they changed. It's like, well, why do we need to do that? And so everybody started switching, and then little by little, our pews don't have holes in them anymore, because if you go to some of the older churches, you'll find them, because they were still the old methodology.
And I'm open to discussing that. I think it's better than the process we have now. I don't know. I'd still have to think if it's better than leaving it there, but I think it's better than what we got.
I'll just point out, it's not a concern that I have, but having the bread, it's covered.
Right, way, I know people prefer that. I know people prefer that.
Yeah. I think it's nice to be able to grab it and take a couple of minutes. And I think there's a significant number of people that like that, as opposed to I have to take it because people are waiting on me. I think that's a
okay. So we will start with the collection. I'll look at the box. We'll talk with Don, Fitz, and Steve about drilling holes and talking about, you know, if that's the best way to go.
I did have something on leadership development, but I haven't really fleshed it out, so I'm not going to introduce it tonight. I'll introduce it at my next meeting.
Can I have a brief comment on that?
Yes, sir.
It's been on my heart a little bit, just in thinking about what's, like, affected me or influenced me. And for me, like, the thing that has helped me the most along the way was being, like, working with you, with the children's ministry thing, and with Jeremy, but also being part of a small group where Brett is. And it just gives me a chance to be around an elder outside of church. And I feel like there needs to be some intentional mentorship. You know, like, which I don't know that you, like, just walk to a person like, hey, I want to mentor you. It might need to happen more naturally by finding opportunities to spend time with them outside of church. So that naturally occurs.
Okay.
We might have to do some tactical small group visits.
I think we can also wait on with benevolence. I think that was, how do we communicate to the congregation that we do have this benevolence ministry in a way that will help people to know, first of all, that we have it available, not so much that they can access it. If they need it, fine, but they know that it's available, that we're taking care of a need, you know, that people know we're taking care of a need. I think that was the thought process behind that. We can wait on that. But I did want to maybe talk a little bit about the retreat we briefly discussed. And not necessarily nail down a date, but we threw out a couple of items that we would like to talk about, you know, spend some time exploring. And I think it was LGBTQ and divorce and leadership are the two. And then I was reading through our statement on gender. And I don't have it here with me. It's dated. I mean, it's really dated. I think we need to maybe spend some time getting that up to date, because I shared it with Williford, and as I was reading through it, I just said, wow, this is dated. And it's, and the way it's written like we were going to come back to it and work it some more. And that's been 11 years. And we haven't really done anything to it in 11 years. Because there's several references to the two services, you know, what's going on in the auditorium, how we want to, you know, introduce it. So I think not necessarily disposing of that document, that would be a good document to archive, but having something that, you know, that's more relevant to where we are, and that will, it's something we can share with somebody that helps them to understand how we got to where we are. So anyway, I think that may be something we can do at that meeting as well.
Okay. I mean, like, two genders, and, you know, that's what God did.
Yeah.
This is gender. That's it. This is roles.
Women's role. Women's role. Yeah.
The women's, you said that, and I was like, I don't know, creating a document like that.
It's titled gender. It's, and that's another reason why it's outdated. Ooh, in the title that way.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So the last couple of things. Steve wanted me, and I talked to Scott Cody today as well. If we're going to this event, we need to register. We only have one guy in the room that's registered so far.
Mm-hmm. So do we take that as the hint of who didn't get one? That's the person that registered?
I registered, but I didn't pay. Yeah.
That's why you didn't get a paper. Yeah. He knows that you registered.
So just wanted to get this in front of you guys. And so if you know what's going on. And plus, if you need to register, QR code will take you right to the spot to register.
Is this the gentleman that will be preaching?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So will there be other not elders there?
Yeah. I think right now Scott said there's going to be about 60 people. There and what's in people that's invited are prospective leaders and spouses. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I think we had close to 200 last time, and this one's going to be less than half. So. All right, next meeting. Well, I guess I'd need to. Be number 8, just in case there's something that we need to talk about that I didn't have on the agenda.
So, Bible classes, so spiritual formation, if you want me to give a quick update on
that.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
So, we had a meeting last week. So, the plan is currently that we have, so the schedule for the year is just very odd. So, you have April and May, which have a lot of holidays and a lot of events going on around the building on Sundays that get rid of Bible classes.
Hmm.
So Mother's Day, Easter, graduation Sunday. Hmm. I don't remember all of them, but so there's five of them.
Hmm.
So in 2 months, five weekends we don't have class.
Hmm.
Plus then you have the retreat down at Camp Nietos, which we'll probably have class that week, but it'll be very thin, or generally thin on that Sunday. So as we were thinking through it, it's like, why would we create, so our current classes were scheduled to go from January 1st, or 2nd or whatever, that we didn't have, until the end of March, and we already lost one of them. So that one already caused some issues and with how things are flowing. And then they were just going to end, and then we would start new classes from April through June, April through the end of May, so 2 month class. So we ended up thinking through, it's like, that's only five classes. What if we extend these first ones to cover the whole spring session? Mm-hmm. So it's winter, spring kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we would just let Eric finish his class, not rush him, not let him do whatever he needs to do to finish that time frame. And then Tim's class here upstairs is Galatians, and he's split already two of the lessons. So he was doing it chapter by chapter, and then he's had to come back for another one for two of the chapters. And then we're like, well, what if we just throw in another book in there too?
Mm-hmm.
And we just do Galatians and Ephesians together.
Mm-hmm.
Because they both have similar thoughts, they both flow similarly. And we found this guy that teaches Ephesians like he was there writing it. As he's over there laughing.
Yeah.
So I asked Brett if he'd be willing to step in. So Tim wasn't necessarily not willing to do it. He felt that it would be too much.
Mm-hmm.
He's done Ephesians before and actually taught it. But he's like, if we can get somebody else, it'd be easier for him. And so Brett volunteered or was asked and then said yes. So Brett will take the second half of that. So that'll flow all the way through the end of May.
So what you're telling me is I'm going to have to split myself into two people in order to test in Eric's and get
Brett. Yes, that's right. Hear Brett actually teach. So, and then the plan is, so the staff this morning, as we were talking about all of this and progression, and it gets down to, so June 1st, so that's, I think June 1st is the Sunday. The thought is that we are going to have that as sort of a Donut Sunday, where we don't have any Bible classes, we don't start the new classes. That's the day VBS starts. So just the time to fellowship. The reasoning, there's a couple different things. One, it's the in between the two classes. The other is that Sunday, promotion Sunday, happens the week before. But VBS would be, we would not actually let them go up. So we're trying, mm-hmm. because it's your previous school year. Mm-hmm. So if they start their new class prior to going to VBS, they were upset. So last year, they didn't even do anything. There were two of them or three of them that came to VBS, and they helped sometimes, but they didn't feel that they should be there because they were promoted. And so by doing that, we can keep our fifth graders, who are new sixth graders, still in class. And this way we could all celebrate, have some donuts, get ready for the summer, and then the second Sunday in June would be the actual time when they actually get promoted. So Zeke and Ethan, all of them would go to the youth group after that point. And then that's the week, because the week of VBS, there are no youth group events other than VBS. Mm. So this way they sort of stay with their same group. And right now there's only two or three that are not moving up. So that class would be very odd to teach, because you'd only have three people in there. And then you have six of these people just floating around the building somewhere, not really helping out. And we don't really want that to happen. So June 1st would be what happened. The summer then starts, so June 8th, I think, is the date, unless it's one day off. Me and calendars aren't good. So June 8th would start the summer, and basically we would have a multi-generational class that would happen. Steve and Nathan have been working on that, and coming up with the themes and what would go on with that. Class, we're not quite clear, so Nathan and I were still having conversations about it today, whether it would be third grade and up, or if it would be just youth group and up. Mm-hmm. It's still questionable as to if those third through fifth graders, that there's only three or four of them, if they would move. I mean, maybe there's a few others that are coming up now too that'll be in third grade, but they're very young, so we don't know all summer long keeping them in there. Mm-hmm. Or if we have the children's program still separate all through the summer. That's still something we're still working through. But there would be this multi-generational, at least teens and adults together, discussing things through the rest of the summer. The fall looks like probably maybe Jeff Kreider would be doing a class, maybe with somebody else. And it may only be one class, but we were thinking through keeping this two class going, mm-hmm. because it's worked really well. Mm-hmm. So even this week, we had not almost a single person in the lobby, which is the first time that I remember that ever with classes. Mm-hmm. The Horums are the only oddball couple that sit out there on the far side by themselves. But it's strange, because usually there are lots of lobby participants. And so
cold,
it's been...
Cold
it's,
weather does that. Mm-hmm.
It's warm out there. I mean, it's still warm, but...
I kind of like the Bible offering and practical categories.
And that's the plan.
That's so, scriptural. Yeah. So that seems to be part of the draw. So,
do you know what Christ's planning for
his? Yeah, so I have a list, and I don't know if I have... Well, so he gave us a list of like 10 different offerings.
But so, do you know, is he going to be probably doing a Bible offering or more of a...
So some of it just depends on which one we choose.
Okay.
He has one on Romans 8, 10 to 12 week study on Romans 8. Wow. So that's sort of a Bible offering, but so it's a whole big list. And then probably in the spring, in the next winter, we have another one of the people on the table, Dave, that may be offering. So you've announced, talked to Betty about it. About the money, like the Dave Ramsey kind of thing that you and Jeff had done before. So that would probably be for that winter time frame is what we're thinking. And we can, and we've not, so this is just hypothetical in the future because it's
financial
so far. Financial plan, financial
some piece. Version of it.
Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Financial piece.
Piece, yeah, financial piece kind of thing.
You done that before, it was a good thing.
Yeah, it was good.
So that was the thought, to put it at that time frame. And then... So that's, unless we said the fall. Betty hasn't sent out the notes yet, and my notes are horrendous. Yeah. And this is my scrap, so it's. I have all that, and I didn't put your piece on there. So yeah, so she hadn't sent out the notes yet, so she was waiting for the picture that I sent of Nathan's board where you guys have been working on it. So I sent that to her, and she was going to send that out. But so that's the thought. So those are the classes that we were working through, you know, timing wise and stuff like that is still up in the air.
So do we want to support Jeff with the upcoming variety show? Do the elders want to figure something out in terms of doing our I don't know what? Yeah, think about it.
Changed it from talent to variety.
Both of them are on there. So just because some people only have talent, some people have variety.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes.
So
anyway, something to think about. Something to think about.
Well, I appreciate also just the heads up on the classes, and I do think that's important, and especially, you know, one of the things for next time is the preaching, you know, mm-hmm. schedule, what's going to happen there, and, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that we've got a couple people involved and the elders are aware, and you know, because again, you know, for me, like, Jeff Kreider, great preacher, but like his last series, like that N.T. Wright thing, it's like, well, what are we getting at? And it's like, I wish he would have given me a heads up. So that whole thing, it's like, well, where are we going? What are we trying to do here, Jeff? And so there's some things like that that, you know, if we got the cliff notes, you know, here's what we're trying to do, it might help me click. Okay, that makes sense to me.
That was good about this, because I was concerned like that kind of thing, because one of them is an N.T. Wright thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
It's too nuanced. And so some of these are very in detail. So, right. And you can look through this if you'd like and see which ones you guys like. But that's definitely what we wanted too. It's like, even for Stephen, Nathan, we were very specific with them that we would like to have a goal and we would like to know what the purpose is. Mm-hmm. And that's what they gave us. So so we've done the same with Jeff too.
Okay. Unless we are really needing it, since February is a shark month, we may just do one meeting in February.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Still Steve. Okay.
We haven't connected with Nathan in an elders meeting for very much.
Okay.
And we're kind of drifting from that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. He has a lot going on. We do need to catch up with him.
Yeah.
That'd be great to have him. I'll invite him to the next one. Okay. I'll give him a heads up.
What a great sermon he had.
He did a great job. Yeah.
I was really impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, has he mentioned that's something he's moving towards? Or
he has not.
No. Seems pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah. I think he loves what he's doing.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah.
Would be nice, though, once a quarter or so, just getting him up there doing that again.
It would be very healthy to have him, because I think the congregation gets to know him better that way, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of enthusiasm. And,
so that would be...
We ordered a podcast of his teaching down when he did his teaching down in Dallas in January. So we have that coming.
All right.
When they go to those seminars, man, I'm telling you, people see him, and next thing they know, you know, they'll say, "Oh, I hear the call of the Lord," you know, for another, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Especially when you're visible teaching. And, yeah.
Well, because he taught in Dallas, then he went to Kansas City and taught there.
He taught there, too. He did. Yeah, he's got some visibility. Yeah.
They've not asked me to teach anywhere. I don't know.
So the Williforts are officially going to be announced on Sunday.
Okay. I think he had some pretty strong feelings about the safety team and what that needed to look like. And we've really modified things a lot since he simplified, dialed back, all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't. It sounds like you've already had some chats with him.
Yeah.
And so, I don't necessarily want to return to what we had before, and want to make sure you feel supported and not having to do that or whatever impetus he might have. Just know.
Yeah, and I thought he did a good job, and it's not really my specialty area. Yeah. I kind of defaulted to it, and so I'm talking with him, and so we were talking a couple weeks, and I said, you know, Robert, you know, I don't mind you serving, but, you know, you're not a member here, and so there's just a limit to what I'm comfortable doing with you, especially in the safety area. Okay. And I, you know, now that you're a member, I'm probably going to get him more involved. Now, I know he and Rick, you know, want to do other things, and I just say, you know, Rick, you know, just let me know, and we'll talk about it, and a lot of things. So, you know, like the blackout screens on the windows, I you know, I have some reservations on some of those things, but I want to encourage them. Hey, I hear you, but I think, you know, but I just want to make sure that we are reasonable in our approaches.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those, and I'm trying to think, we had one of these preaching candidates that made the comment, you know, every Sunday you'd come in and Johnny would give you a bulletin. And I think if Johnny didn't have a bulletin to give you, he may not have been there on Sunday. And there was a lot of people involved in the safety ministry, I think, you know, because it gave them something to do. And I think Robert really did a great job in building those guys up. And I think when that kind of dwindled, I think, you know, you really saw it in some people. And I think that there's benefits beyond just the safety. I just think it builds a community in those people. And I thought he did a good job in that.
No, and Rick is one of those that he was on the sound team.
Yeah.
Up until the point he went to safety.
Yeah.
And the safety was so much better for him because his hearing aids didn't work.
Right.
Especially towards the end. Like, he was having issues getting used to them.
Right.
And Ross knows from sitting back there, if you can't hear what they're where they're at or where Jeff was at or whatever, you're in trouble.
I also know how hard new hearing aids are because Max has struggled quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so that's where it was a good opening for him. Yeah. And so it's kept him here.
Right,
so,
exactly, mean, yeah.
It's definitely, because he would be up in Maryland Heights where his mom, he would have went with his mom to Maryland Heights, but he felt they needed him here, and we did.
Yeah.
And so, but.
Good.
All right. Hey, just one real quick thing. So we've practically deconstructed the food pantry in terms of how we're going to move forward on it. Now we got to put it back together. there's a lot of moving parts. I'm not going to get too much into it. I just wanted to let you guys know that we are working through some things. And so we're segmenting those duties, probably about four or five duties that we're segmenting to different people. So it's going to be much more complex than it was before, you know. And so it's probably going to fall on me to really oversee it for a while until we get some of the things worked out. But trying to get one person to do the 15-plus hours a week is a big ask. So we're trying to get maybe three or four people to do the various tasks like volunteer coordinating, inventory management. Then there's this client liaison. You have people coming in that really need help even doing the paperwork. So you need somebody that's there doing that for them as well. And then someone to pick up the food from the food bank. So you got those four areas that we're trying to construct around a new model. And we got some people targeted for those, and we've talked with some of them. Barb's role will likely be, she wants to stay involved, but her role is going to be like the client liaison, where she'll be there on, you know, maybe 2 to 4 times a month, depending on her schedule availability, where she would be the ones that are interacting with the clients. They know her already. They feel comfortable letting them know where they need help. You know, they don't have to go up to speak with somebody else and say, hey, I need help filling this paperwork. Or she knows who needs that help, so she can help them, you know, in a very discreet way. And so she's thinking that's what she wants to continue to do that. And she also will be the person when we have special events. She can invite them to them. So she know, like, the Thanksgiving meal and those kind of things. And so, so she, might stay in that role. I think that's what she's thinking. But we're trying to restrict her from doing too much more than that, because it's it really begins to get to the point where she gets burnt out. So anyway, we're working on trying to build the model back up again. But it's going to be a little different. There'll be more moving pieces involved, which makes it a little bit more difficult in terms of the complexity of it. So.
But for future, it'll make it better, because if one of them quits, you only have a little piece to kill versus the Barb leaving, or whenever Bob switched it over to her, it was just like this big bucket just dumping it on top.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a better option.
But like when you got a lot of moving parts, you replace them more often, though. But anyway, just want to give you guys a quick update there. All right. Would you close us out?
Oh, sure. Father, we just want to bow before you as our Lord, and we want to commit ourselves to you and your kingdom and your work and your people. Help our eyes to really see the needs here at McKnight. Help us to be excited about what your Spirit can do and the way it is working. And we just thank you for the ministries in this congregation and just for the ways that we are impacting our community. And Father, I just hope that we're purposeful in all that we do. And Father, that we spend our times in the right way. And we're not just busy, but Father, that we are busy about the things that are important to you. And Lord, I do pray that as leadership, we can focus on mentorship and discipleship, that we can have a vision for people and really strengthen their walk with you, Father, and that they become more like you, and that we want to raise people up and mature them. So then, you know, your name can be glorified and your work can be done. I just want to thank you for the men in this room. I just appreciate them so much. And I just thank you that we're all pulling together, and we know that it's through your Spirit. And, you know, just continue to ask your grace and your blessings, and just give us peace as we look for a minister. And again, help us to wait on your time. It's hard, Father, it is, but help us to be patient and trust in you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.